Hey, great Friday, everybody. Yeah, Good Friday was last week. welcome Friday afternoon, round and third, heading for home. North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist Doug Lear on your radio on Farm Talk here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Howdy.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. I learned so much from listening, and even, you know, a lot of times it's like farm and ranch and ag related, but I did not know until earlier this week about the consistent bobcat sighting in Cass County in, is it Hill Township, I think? Is that where Harrison Weber was at?
Yep, he's out there by Castleton.
Yeah.
By Durbin. Yeah.
Okay, but my ears perked up when I heard about this bobcat, and then I saw, because it does happen from time to time. The last, I think, confirmed bobcat that I had was like, from our backyard, you know, there's a season on them out in the Badlands, and it's not that rare. But in the Red River Valley was further down, like south of Kindred,
right,
a few years ago.
Yeah. So, however, these bobcat sightings on the Harrison Weber farm were in his shop, where he's got a cat. He used to have two of them. One croaked winter before last, and they're like just under 30 pounds.
I know it. I just think you got to eat a lot of mice to grow a cat that big.
That's what I told Harrison. I don't think there's a mice in the whole township. A cat has got them all.
Oh, fun stuff. But I do, because it was actually on March 31st of last year when I'll give you a replay. Okay. On March 31st of 2020, pandemic is about a month into really taking a hold on the way our lifestyle. And I look on my phone and I see West Fargo police calling. I'm like, what's this for? And I mean, I say that mentally, and because I always figure they're not calling me to say, hey, Doug, are you having a good day?
Yeah.
What are you up to today? Would you like to meet for coffee? And I was in the middle of a project, and it hung up, and then it called again. I'm like, well, I better answer it. And Doug, Sergeant, there's a mountain lion in a tree. And I said, what? It was Doug, Sergeant Pete Nielsen, there's a mountain lion in a tree on the southwest side of West Fargo. And I knew from the tone in his voice. And then I also knew, because I have had phone calls of, hey, Doug, Mr. Lear, I think there's a kangaroo stuck in our fence. So when I it was a totally different parallel, because when I heard, this is Sergeant Pete Nielsen with West Fargo Police Department, who I know is an avid hunter, and it's the middle of the day, and he tells me there's a mountain lion in a tree versus, Mr. Lear, I think there might be a kangaroo stuck in our fence in West Fargo.
You know Pete's serious.
Pete was serious and accurate.
And a professional observer.
The other call was very, very inaccurate.
Yeah.
There was a deer stuck in a fence that was kicking its legs trying to get out.
Oh, okay.
That was maybe looking maybe like it could be a kangaroo, and I will never say never. And especially when they call and they tell me that there's a mountain lion in a tree. So when you talk about a cat, I had a flashback to when on March 31st of 2020, there was a mountain lion that was found in a tree on the edge of an apartment complex on the southwest edge of West Fargo. So it was not in like the downtown heart of a Fargo or a Grand Forks, but it was on the edge of town, and it only crossed maybe it was on the edge of a park across the Cheyenne Diversion, so it didn't have to go very far to get into town. But when I hear cat, and my ears perk up, and I was happy to hear that Harrison Weber has a tomcat or six that have been feeding on mice. That's a good story, Mick.
Yeah, that indeed, yeah. And your kangaroo in the fence, there was a Joey involved, but he's a second grader, probably.
Yes, well played, Mick, well played.
Okay, well, hey, tomorrow, can we go hunting turkey?
You know, I'll say yes, and it's kind of a loaded question, because we live
It's a loaded answer.
It's a loaded answer. Yeah. Thank you. Boy, you're on your game today for a Friday afternoon. It is a great Friday.
Yeah, I'm not used up yet.
No, so. You still got a lot of gas in the tank yet, Mick. In North Dakota, our spring turkey season opens up on Saturday, and we don't, like if you're listening, you say, well, it's going to be a nice day. Maybe I'll go out and shoot a turkey. You have to have a tag. And we had a little over 4,000 spring turkey tags that were already allocated. But it really is, for hunters, probably probably the most traditional sign of spring for hunters that we have, other than maybe somebody that went out and shot gophers that's been shooting gophers for, you know, generations and for eons. Our spring snow goose season didn't start until 1999. Our spring turkey season goes back, I believe, into probably the 1960s. Interesting story on how turkeys were like expanded across North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Actually goes back to the late Harold Schaefer.
Oh, interesting.
And he was very strong into the Isaac Walton League, had a strong conservation background. And actually, a couple of years ago, I was speaking with his son, who some of your listeners may recognize as the former Secretary of Agriculture.
And governor.
Governor of the state of North Dakota.
Yeah.
Ed Schaefer.
Right.
And he was sharing stories when we were, there's an old book called, like, I think it's called like Feathers of the Prairie. And it talks about how turkeys were kind of established in western and in central North Dakota, and how they, what you do with it, like any kind of stocking, is you take what you have, you find suitable habitat, whether it's fish or turkeys, and then you go plant them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Governor Harold Schaefer, Governor...
Governor's dad.
Governor's dad. Governor Schaefer's dad, Harold Schaefer.
Mr. Medora and Mr. Bubble.
Mr. Bubble, thank you for that. Yeah, Mr. Bubble loved conservation in the Isaac Walton League. And he was part of taking turkeys and planting them in various areas across the Badlands and up and down the Missouri River of the Washburn area. And his son, former Secretary of Agriculture, Governor Schaefer, said, oh, I remembered jumping in the truck with Dad and driving around and helping plant turkeys. So
now, did they catch the wild ones and then relocate a couple of pairs or something?
Right. That's what they'll do. And in fact, when you... when you fast forward to the modern day turkeys, we still have a lot of people that get frustrated with turkeys. And it can be from a farmstead, from turkeys getting into silage piles. In urban areas, I get a number of phone calls because turkeys kind of gravitate towards a place where they have shelter. Mm-hmm. And they have a food source. So in the rural areas, that farmstead, where our farmsteads, some of them were built into a valley, built into a hillside a little bit, where you've got the hills in the backside, you got the barn, you got the outbuildings, and then you've got shelter belts around it, basically creating about, you know, 360 degrees of protection from the elements, from the wind and the snow. Protects the cattle and the farm. Provides refuge for the turkeys as well.
And a great food source there in the silage pile.
And a great food source. So they turn into a nuisance. We can manage turkeys most easily via the shotgun. Mm-hmm. We get requests from people to move turkeys. And in the urban areas, it's the same way, where turkeys will eat on the bird feed that people are putting out there, that they're trying to feed the songbirds in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
They have protection, especially in the Red River Valley with the trees and the wooded areas along the Red River, and they can become nuisance. I get calls, if people are familiar with Oak Grove in downtown kind of edge of Fargo, and it's near the Red River, and it's protected with old oak trees, and the turkeys find what they need. Here's the problem that we run into in the here and now, whether it's in the rural areas or in the urban areas, of trying to trap and relocate turkeys. Nobody wants them.
Oh.
I'll say that with a little bit of a caveat. The people that do want them, their neighbors don't want them.
Sure.
So I've had people from Hillsborough and New Rockford say, oh, man, if you ever have problems with turkeys, we'd love to have them, and I don't doubt that. I'll say, but yeah. But your neighbors probably don't want to have them. Your neighbors that, you know, might still milk cows or have cattle or have some other kind of livestock. And the minute those turkeys find an easier, more bountiful food source, that's where they're going to go. Turkeys don't necessarily bloom where they're planted, Mick.
No, they've got wings.
They've got wings. they'll gravitate towards for them a better place, for us a worse place. And even if it's a different flock that starts to move in, if we transplanted turkeys to Grafton or Devil's Lake or Dickinson or Harvey, there were turkeys in Moorhead that have continued to cause problems, and people said, well, bring them to Aberdeen, bring them over to Sisseton. And what happens is the minute the community finds out that Mick wants to bring turkeys to West Fargo, Mick's neighbors go, might want them.
Yeah, but we don't.
We don't want Mick to have turkeys. So there's really, it really comes to a grinding halt, which is why as we open up the turkey season tomorrow, we can talk a little bit more about this, is we really have our best management opportunity. Our best management opportunity is via the shotgun, and it's via hunting. Can we solve all of the problems? Is it a magic bullet? No, it really isn't. But what it can help do is reduce the problems, slow the growth of the problems, and that's through other things. And there's some things that that I can share with landowners and with turkey hunters about, you know. How can we help? It's like being an extension agent. Okay, you've got the way to help. Then how do we implement that? Mm-hmm. And we can talk more about how we can implement some of the tools to help reduce the problems and the conflicts that are caused by turkeys, Mick.
Okay, and the best is with a 12-gauge full of pellets.
Yeah, so, really. So, yeah. I mean, the best way to manage turkeys is to put them in your freezer.
Okay.
The best way to put them in your freezer is through a hunting season. Our spring turkey season in North Dakota, that opens up tomorrow morning, Mick.
All right, and as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, if you do not have that certificate, or what is it called?
Nut tag. Small games tag, yep.
Yeah, your turkey tag is not coming in the mail.
Right, so if you had one and you didn't get it, go get that new small game license, Mick.
All right, gotcha. All right, and it's April 1st, new year for the fishing license.
Right, so. That as well, yep.
All righty. Okay, Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist, Friday afternoon. We're going to take a break, come back with more after this on Farm Talk.